Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Snugcast. I'm your co-host, DJ Walsh. Sitting on my left, as always, is my co-host, Owen Tabb. Through the wars this week, but he wouldn't miss a Thursday night in Phil Grimes. Owen, how are you?
How are you getting on? DJ, you never introduced our new theme music.
What do you think, lads? It sounds better on the Casio keyboard that you have there. Owen, first question of the night, and always the most important question. What are you drinking tonight?
I don't know. I actually don't know who makes this or what it is. It's we're in Phil Grimes' pub again.
The home of the Snugcast.
And I'm drinking some sort of raspberry and vanilla sour voice. Give a taste to all the boys here. And I don't know, weird one.
Yeah, there's a... I didn't like the smell of it. Like, you know me, I food and drink, I give it an old whiff first. And... food, drink and other things. And, but I didn't like the smell. I had a taste and I was like, this sour. But then there was a slap of raspberry. Pleasant for a taste, but I don't know what I'd be drinking 10 pints of the stuff.
No, hence why I've switched.
Yeah.
Second pint. I quite liked it. There is quite a big bang of raspberry off it. Yeah.
It'd be great for, say, if you just had a sweet dessert and you wanted to polish it off before you go home to the woman. Have an old pint of that stuff, be a bit sour, balance out the sweetness.
It's the sour, all right.
Like we're going to be talking about food later on this podcast and mixing and balancing drink with food. So we started off on the right team anyway. That was completely unplanned, but it's a smooth segue on to my next guest. Sorry, I don't own this. I only half own it. And our next guest is a debutante on the Snugcast. We've been trying to get him on for 2 weeks now, and he finally showed up tonight. The big, the bold, the brave, the wonderful Simon Calhoun. Simon, welcome to the Snugcast. What are you drinking tonight?
Thank you very much, DJ. Thanks for the welcome. I am drinking a lovely pint. It's called Nitro. It's a milk stout. It's a controversial choice. I am an English man living in Ireland, drinking an American stout in an Irish pub, which is a brave move. But it's delicious, can't argue with it.
Can I just interject there and say, you're not the first controversial Englishman to set foot in this island.
Yeah, there's one or two before me, I'd say, yeah.
Yeah, so, excellent. What you make of it? I had a taste. It's the best smelling non-Irish stout I've ever smelled. And it actually has a lovely taste. Would you like to describe it to the listeners?
Yeah, I would. It's delish. So, if you want to go on a food theme... it's like drinking a pint of clotted cream with a bit of Guinness mixed in. That actually doesn't sound as good as it did in my head. But I promise you, it's a delicious pint. It's the smoothest pint I think I've ever drank of anything ever.
I'd agree with that. Too.
Yeah, it's fairly smooth. Like, the proof's in the pudding, or the stout in this case. So good man, Simon. And regular Snugcast listeners will be familiar with our next guest. He said in episode 2 he thought he sounded stoned. I can assure you he wasn't. Big Dave Quinn, welcome back. What are you drinking tonight?
Welcome.
I said I'd try to sound unstoned for the intro this time. Welcome back. Listen, thanks for having me back. I really, really enjoyed episode 2. Really, really pleased to be here again tonight with you boys. So tonight, I went for the White Gypsy IPA. And
classic choice.
You can't go wrong.
It's a
standard, delicious, smooth, crisp, refreshing IPA that just gets the taste buds wetted and ready to talk about some delicious food and whatever is on the agenda for tonight, gents.
Of course, as usual, we don't share the agenda with our guests until we actually ask them the questions. But we're big fans of the White Gypsy on the Snugcast. If you follow us on Instagram, Twitter, or of course on Facebook, good man on. If you follow us on Instagram, Twitter, or on Facebook, anyway, as I was saying, trying to like promote our podcast here. If you follow us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook, you'll notice that we use White Gypsy pictures of White Gypsy pints quite often because we drink White Gypsy pints quite often and we love them. However, I'm on a drink tonight called Yankee White IPA. It might even be White IPA, actually. I'm not 100% certain. But it's from the Rascals Brewing Company. And I have to say, it's actually, it's not as crisp. It's not that crispness that you get from a lager or something that's close to a lager in an IPA. But it's just full-bodied, so flavoursome, absolutely delicious. And it's so nice that the boys were bullshitting. They both had a pint of White Gypsy and a sour voice. And after tasting my Yankee Pale Ale from the Rascal Brewing Company, they both decided to buy a pint for themselves each. So it's that good. I couldn't recommend it higher. Controversial opinion time. It's no Puck Pilsner. I don't think anything ever will. Jack Cody, if you're listening, please come back.
Come back.
We miss you, Jack.
We miss you, Jack. We miss you more than Kate Winslet misses you.
Do you know what? It's a similar kind of taste, isn't it? It's kind of got that grapefruitiness, maybe.
It is. It's quite fruity, but at the same time, not heavy.
It's not overly sweet, like, you know.
Oh, it's so light.
Great pint.
Very, very happy with my choice tonight. In fact, I might make work tomorrow because I might end up drinking 20 of these. But, lads, that's the intro. We've been around the table.
I think we've all picked great pints.
We have. And, listen, on to the next segment.
And, like, it's that whole guessing game of, like, is this beef? Is this chicken? Is this a prawn? Like, what the fuck is it? Like, you know? And you're trying to guess, and it's that whole communication.
It's kind of like abracadabra on a Saturday after. You're like, is that prawn? I don't know. Like, I ordered a lamb doner.
I've never seen a brown prawn before.
But so, anyway, just to fucking sum up the whole thing, because it's pretty much the same throughout the three courses. It's just fucking a guessing game of what we're having.
Yeah.
But literally, like, I think it's just the analysing of like every single aspect of your food, where you're like,
without sight.
Yeah, you're like, you know, say you like, oh, you guess it's beef, right? Yeah. And you're like, okay, that's beef. But like, what's the sauce? Do you taste a hint of garlic? Do you taste a hint? Yeah, you know. Yeah. And you're like really, really analysing every single taste,
especially with Asian dishes, because you use so many different components into building a sauce.
What I found was when we did it, we slowed down our eating
100%,
so much, and like actually savored every bite, and the amount of mental power that was being computed in your mind to like think of what is actually in my mouth at the moment.
Yeah,
because we're used to trying to focus stuff like
that. Yeah, like just shovel through it, like, you know, and to take time and sit and relax and think about what you're eating.
That's not relaxing though, is it? I'm not like, I think I'd absolutely love to do this. I know there's one in London called Don the Noir and I always wanted to go there but I never did, but is that relaxing, sitting in the dark eating?
Well, yeah, well, for,
I don't know.
I was sat in the dark and not more relaxing.
The first 10 minutes was like, it was a mind fuck. Like, we're like, couldn't even see the hand in front of our faces.
No,
Would you be on edge? Would you be worried?
My mate Hugh couldn't even distinguish whether it was white or red wine he was drinking. Like,
it's amazing.
But then after that first couple of minutes, we did chill down. We ended up having a great laugh, and yeah, it was a really, really positive experience.
Yeah,
excellent. Simon, the king of peas and chorizo.
Yeah.
I've dined at your house a few times, and you're not bad with a pea and a chorizo together.
I presume you're going to say that's your best meal you've ever had. Peas and chorizos. That's a spoiler alert. The DJ loves peas and chorizo cooked by me.
You're going to have to listen to 10 minutes time at the Snowcast to find out. Following on from that, what's your favourite meal?
I've had, like, I don't know what, 5 minutes to think about this, but I was fascinated by listening to the eating in the dark thing.
You're a bit freaked out, but...
Yeah, no, I'd love to do it. I don't know. I'd love to do it, not because I think I'd particularly enjoy it, but because I think it'd be an amazing experience.
Yeah. And, you know, you
pick it. Yeah.
In the dark.
I was going to say, you know, you pricks in England never had a fucking power outage. You never Sellafield power in your fucking houses and poison those fuckers. Still going on.
Oh, stop.
So, anyways. Yeah, I probably should have thought about this instead of listening.
He's gone back to the voice.
I'm not stoned.
Davina Quinn is here with us.
I probably should have concentrated. I probably should have thought while you were talking. But
it's better if you don't think and you answer from your stomach.
So, okay, from my stomach. It's a genre. It's not a specific meal. Barbecue. I'm gonna say barbecue.
Ah, look. You know how much barbecue. We love barbecue.
Ah, oh, stop. What I love about barbecue is everything. I love that. what do I love about barbecue?
The ambiance.
Do you know, one thing that frustrates me about barbecues is, that's probably the correct grammar, you can edit this out.
I won't put this out there. Our command of the English language is shite.
Yeah.
Need worry.
I mean, no. What I love about barbecues, but what frustrates me about it is that barbecues are so versatile. You can cook so many things on a barbecue, and what does everyone do? They do burgers and sausages. Now I love burgers and I love sausages, and if I do a barbecue I do burgers and sausages, but there's so much more as well. Like you mentioned, prawns are amazing on a barbie. Yeah. Fish on a barbecue,
halloumi.
Different level. Halloumi.
Oh lads, our halloumi skewers are legendary.
Yeah. And
absolutely
the other thing
legendary.
With barbecues, like, I don't know, I associate them with summer, a few beers, your friends are around, family are around. It's just a lovely atmosphere. It's a lovely...
Should barbecues only be associated with summer?
So I was just going to come on to this. The winter barbecue, why isn't it a thing?
Right, so...
I love the idea.
You guys both know that when we're... like, so the four of us play tag rugby together. We mentioned tag rugby team on episode 2 of the Snowcast. And... the tag rugby matches take place between 7 and 8:45. Every week you have a different time. Myself and Owen, when we finish work at 4:30 or 5 o'clock every Thursday, go straight to Owen's house and have a barbecue and a few bottles before we go play in the tag rugby. And we have that fucking barbecue. We're in Ireland, even though it's the summer. It could be wind, rain, fucking sun, snow, sleet. We'll have the fucking barbecue. We want. Owen's backyard is a fine backyard, has produced many a good vegetable. But the parasol basically covers the whole backyard of his kitchen table. And we once had pissing rain on a Thursday and we threw the parasol up and it was a perfect shelter for the barbecue.
There you go.
Owen's neighbours probably weren't appreciative of the smoke billowing into their backyard.
Yeah, hitting the parasol,
deflecting down.
Into their backyard.
We used our superior command of physics to ensure that the smoke went into their backyard and not blew back into us. But barbecues... they're an all-weather cooking food. You just have to be outside to do a barbecue, because obviously if you cook barbecue in your house, you're going to smoke the shit of it.
Have you seen these green eggs and stuff like that? I wouldn't count that. Like, I think that's a whole different thing again.
That's like a hibachi grill more than a barbecue.
I don't know what a hibachi grill is, but yeah, it's probably one of them.
I'm way more cultured than you are.
Yeah, that's it. You're a classy guy.
So barbecue, that's a really good answer.
Yeah, it's not... the question was, what's your best meal? That's not a meal, that's a way of cooking, everyone knows I'm talking about.
Put it this way, you know, right? If, say, for example, you're going out for dinner, what are you going to have for your dinner? Steak and chips, or fish and chips, or... I'm going to have I better say something pasta. Prawns and tagliatelle or some shit like that.
Chips.
Some posh lad have. But like, literally on a Thursday, if someone says to me, what are you having for your dinner tonight, I'll say barbecue, because it's a meal.
There you go.
Barbecued potatoes, aka chips.
You can stick a shoe on a barbecue and I'd eat it. That's how much I love barbecues.
Right.
And actually, I'm gonna, before you move on, so I'm sure you're about to, that actually have a smoker. That's how much I love barbecue. I actually have a smoker. Yeah,
you told me this. I actually have a gripe to bear with you. How long have you had a smoker?
I don't want to talk about it.
No, how long have you had it?
I've had it for...
tell the fucking people.
I'll tell you now. Is it, think I've had it at the Bones for 3 years. I got it for Christmas, and we're September now. Was it 2 or 3 years? Maybe two.
And we've been friends for 3 years, and I've never had anything smoked by you.
Do you know what I'm going to do?
What?
I'm going to smoke some stuff.
And I'm going to have it. You should have been here last week.
For the listeners, Dave and Simon are brothers-in-law. Simon's married to Dave's sister. Yeah, no wonder he was fucking stoned coming here 2 weeks ago.
It's that smoked salmon that I had.
Dave, you've had my smoked salmon.
Absolutely delish. Probably one of the best pieces of smoked salmon that I've ever had.
I never had it. Anyway,
I've eaten a lot of smoked salmon.
You know what I'm going to do? Next time I'm on the Snugcast, I'm going to bring in some of my smoked salmon. And everyone can listen to my smoked salmon and how delicious it sounds.
Lovely. Big Dave Quinn, Simon smoked salmon. Is it the best meal you've ever had? Please say no.
up there, but my go-to meal that I always, whenever I was asked to think about my favourite meal, would always be my mum's roast Sunday dinner. And it
shout out to Bridgie Quinn, by the way.
Hashtag Somerville cook, amazing. And the meat that I'm going to describe would be Cumra lamb, cooked pink. Sometimes she has a tendency to overcook it.
Your dad likes it a little bit.
He likes. He's
shout out to Michael Quinn.
Yeah, he's
the way he says
goes. Yeah, my dad likes, you know, things by the book. He wouldn't like a pink piece of meat. Like, he'd like it fucking rubber.
He's a traditional Irish man.
Meat and two veg. But my mum's roast dinner, lamb, roast buds. Probably the best. Well, actually, seeing that I've eaten roast buds in your house, DJ,
I heard big things about this,
actually. They are probably... DJ's spuds are probably one of the best spuds around.
So, I know my spuds.
I've cooked roast buds for Dave Quinn and for Sonia, who was over for dinner that night with you for dinner with myself and Eve. Myself and Sonia lived together for 2 years in an apartment, and she christened me King of the Spud. I cooked her every kind of spud you can think of, and she calls me King of the Spud. I'm resting on that. By the way, I just want to mention to the listeners, and I meant to say it, Dave, but you took off there like a train and gave a wonderful description of your mother's roast dinner. By the way, I'm not free this Sunday, but might be over Sunday week. Just give her the heads up.
We'll see if we can pitch in.
Big Dave Quinn, if you follow him on Instagram, I'm not sure what his handle is, we'll throw it up on the Snugcast Instagram, has some wonderful pictures of some homegrown veg that he grows at the backyard, and kudos, because we're big fans of growing vegetables at the backyards. Owen's courgettes are legendary. They're well endowed.
They're in song. They've been put into song and everything. Song about Owen's courgettes.
I just want to say, Dave, you're like your veg looks amazing on the old Instagram there. Yeah, the less said about Dave's meat and veg, the better. Dave's meat and two veg have been put into songs as well. Actually, Dave, my favorite meal. Jesus, that actually got a side mention as well on the episode 2. If you know, you know, and you would have heard Dad mutter it in the background. My favourite meal is actually quite in line with yours, and it's roast chicken my grandmother does. She does roast chicken breasts with chicken gravy that she makes herself. And she also does with that steamed broccoli, steamed peas, roast spuds, and if you think my roast spuds are nice, my grandmother's roast spuds, lathered in the juice that comes off the chicken before she puts them in the oven. She basically parboils them, dips them in oil, and then pours this chicken, it's not chicken fat because there's not too much fat in the chicken, but the chicken oils, pours that over the spuds, and crisps them up so nice.
The spud doesn't fall far from the...
Oh, lad, don't even fucking go there, it's amazing. And she might throw in an old sneaky bit of parsnip and carrot together or something like that. So hearty, so nutritious. And I'm a big guy, I'm 6'4", quite broad, but fuck me, the portion sizes then. I get 2 full chicken breasts, I get 8 roast buds, and then I get a heap of veg. Fucking amazing. So guys, I actually have a question for the three of you here tonight, and I'm going to answer it as well. And I want to know, what's your favourite meal? Owen.
Oh, Jesus. I'm not even ready for this. Go on.
What is your favourite meal?
favourite meal.
Not the best meal you've ever had, but what's your favourite meal in general?
Okay,
Even who cooks it, I'm back on the crack.
Okay, so it's April 26th, 2017.
Oh, you mean like an actual, like one, not like, you know, is your steak and chicken. You mean like an actual...
Listen.
Your go-to meal.
We're free birds on this podcast.
Interpret.
I asked the question, take it where you want to go.
Fair play.
All right, okay, so you could be talking about a favourite dish or you could be talking...
You're talking...
I'm talking...
What's your favourite meal?
This is brilliant. April 26th, carry on.
We'll be able to show you that.
Yeah. I'm talking favourite restaurant meal here now.
Oh, I didn't see that coming.
Take with it what you will.
Whatever you want. Whatever.
I'm a free three little birds outside my window.
Anyway,
go where you want.
Don't eat them. Worst meal ever.
Yeah.
I'm in Ho Chi Minh City or Saigon.
Depending what side of the border you're on.
Yeah, fucking respect to the South Vietnamese. So I'm in Saigon.
Yeah.
It's my birthday.
I knew that.
Happy birthday.
No, it's not.
Who have I not forgotten?
So I get taken out from my birthday to this dining in the dark experience.
Just did one in Kuala Lumpur.
Oh, great.
International.
Stop stealing Dave's stories.
Shit, now to think of another one.
So anyway, we went to this restaurant, and so you're brought in, you're sat down at a couch out in the lobby, and they bring out you know, like those kids for those toys for kids. You know those toys for kids, the fucking ones where you put like the circle in the circle hole, the square in the square hole, those things, right? So they bring one of those out for us, and they blindfold us, right? So basically, like you're trying to like... I'm getting to the meal, I swear to God.
Are you fully clothed at this point?
Yeah. So we have to
fit
do
something
like,
round in a square hole. What?
So I have to put a peg in a...
Put anything in any hole.
So anyway, we do this for like, I don't know, 5 minutes or whatever, however long it takes us to fucking do this thing, slot all these things in. So the man comes out then and goes, leads us up to a room, and we're led into like this darkened corridor that has just like ground, very dim lighting, and the guy who's there, who's like talking to us the entire time, he hands us over to our waiters and he goes, you know, this is, I don't know, fucking Vietnamese and mad name,
Johnny
Moon. Yeah, right,
mad name.
Yeah.
Johnny Mad Dog.
So Johnny Moon anyway ends up being blind, so he's all the waiters are blind in this place.
Actually blind, like not blindfolded, but
blind,
like
blind
vision.
Yeah, impaired. As in, yeah.
Even when the lights are on,
their eyes have been scooped out with ice cream scoops,
just in case they're cheating.
Yeah. Okay, it's one of them places.
Harsh.
Yeah.
Stern but fair.
What a tough
stern
war.
But fair.
So. So
anyway, we were with the blind lads.
Yeah, we're with the blind boys, and we're led into like a fully pitch black room. Can't see a fucking thing. So anyway, like, so two of us are like sat opposite side of each other on a table, and
this is Kira, your girlfriend, yeah.
Kira, my girlfriend, yeah. So
could have been anyone.
Yeah.
Me and the waiter.
You
and
the blind waiter.
Johnny? Yeah. Is that you?
Johnny Moon.
You and Johnny Moon.
So, anyway, yeah. So, we're sitting on the other side of the table, right? Your man goes, like, oh, your fork's on the left, knife's on the right, your glass, you know, has to stay here on your right hand side, right? So I just completely mishear the guy. Like, oh no, sorry, your glass is on your left hand side for me, right? And Kira's is on her right hand side. But I was like so used to, you know, like drinking with your right hand.
Because it's your dominant hand, yeah.
Right hand drinking.
So basically I pick up like the glass of wine off the table, drink it, and then place it down on the right hand side of the table in this pitch black room served by this blind waiter. So the waiter comes in with our starters.
immediately knocks open my glass of wine.
Shit.
He's like, what are you doing? You idiot.
I'm obviously like, hey man, it's my birthday, leave me alone.
So, come on, Johnny. Johnny,
it's my birthday.
So anyway, I think we're actually moved to a different table. Try and get rid of this,
mate. If that if that's well, the man, best meal you've ever had, then
well, your man's not cleaning it up, is he?
Yeah, no. But anyway, so after that whole thing is fucking sorted out, they come along and so they place down like this square plate in front of you, and the plate is divided up into four quarters, and like this was kind of like the reason why they did that, like
spatial awareness,
that spatial awareness game with the squares and the circles and stuff, so that so basically go like you start at the top left hand corner or the top left hand quadrant, and you like taste that, and we both have the same dishes,
yeah,
and you taste that, and then you work clockwise around.
They must have thought they were fucked with you because you don't know your left from
right. Pretty much, like, right. So fucking, we just go through it and like eating like all these like different like prawns and like I don't know, like these beef dishes. So I think we chose like the Asian menu, like, but like honest to God, like you wouldn't think it, but like without being able to like see the food, your other senses are so heightened.
Yeah,
it's insane. Like absolutely everything you're doing. Like,
oh, fantastic, lads. So I'm actually going to mix it up a bit now, and we're going to do something we haven't done in Stonecast before, and I'm coming to Simon first.
Oh, yeah.
So, Simon, we've just heard everyone's favourite meals. Now, I'm intrigued about my meal, which is very filling, succulent chicken, good heap of veg, delicious gravy and roast buds. What do you think would be the ideal drink to have in combination with my favourite meal?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a really good question. You're talking chicken and veggies. So you're basically saying what goes well with a Sunday roast?
The nicest fucking chicken you've ever had in your life.
The nicest.
And the nicest fucking spuds you've ever had in your life.
We're not a pint
of gravy.
But you already have that. Well,
we're not saying beer only. Like,
if you think a nice fucking wine, or I'm not a wine connoisseur, but a nice Sauvignon Blanc could be right there, or whatever.
Yeah,
all
your
own direction.
Yeah.
We know you're a posh man with fucking notions.
I am.
Can I put in there just a quick one on that pint of gravy? We used to have a Sunday lunch in college, and I would live with the chef, and I was on the cleanup that Sunday, and to get out of the cleanup, the boys were like, "All right, you can drink that pint of gravy, and you can get out of it." So pint was laid down in front of me, guzzled it back, done and dusted.
There you go.
Very, very ill after that. I can say, but the stool,
yeah.
What just came out? Lovely,
I tell you this much,
lovely lubricated.
I never thought I'd be able to link Big Dave Quinn to Big Sam Allardyce, but you both love pints of gravy. Anyways, moving on, Simon. Suckling chicken, beautiful spuds, heap of veg. What is the drink to take you home with that meal?
You can't link, put DJ out of the picture.
Yeah,
right?
No, I'm immaterial.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What? Like,
I know the question.
Mission,
right.
Yeah,
I get a question.
A Michelin star restaurant.
Yeah. I get a question. Before I answer, I'm going to tell you what is not the right answer. And there's a reason why I'm going to tell you that. So I used to live with a guy, shout out to Reese Williams. I knew this guy for a week. This is a side story of a
So you're
going
to shout out to a guy that you knew for a week?
No, I knew him for years and years and years. But I still know him. Now. How you going, Reese? So Reese,
he obviously listens.
So after a week, he will after this. So after knowing him for a week, I thought his name was Chris Williams. And eventually, I lived with a guy for a whole week, and then he actually finally corrected me. His name was Reese Williams, but he introduced himself kind of with his head down. He's kind of shy at the time, and I thought his name was Chris for an entire week, and it wasn't. Again, we can edit this bit. We can edit out most of it.
No, don't mind editing.
Anyway, the reason I'm telling you about this
is because... Can I ask you something about that just before you go on with it?
Yeah.
So, do you know you're English and you pretend to be Welsh?
Yeah, he's Welsh.
Yeah,
and he's
clearly with a name like Reese. Do you think if you were real Welsh, you would have heard Reese?
No, I'd say he was like...
He was just really
Chris
shy.
Williams, yeah.
Right, Chris. Sorry to interject there.
So, exactly.
Crazy bastard.
And then he played a blinder. He used to play football. He was very good at football, but he didn't give a fuck.
but he used to play for the fourth team. But when he was chatting to women in this, I knew him at uni, so he used to play for the university fourth team. But when he was chatting to women, he used to say the forced team. And in a nightclub, it sounded like the first team. And he used to clean up based on that.
Before he forced himself on his
So the reason I'm mentioning Chris Williams is because...
Forced team.
He didn't drink. Like alcohol, he drank liquid, but he didn't drink alcohol at all. So, do you know what he used to... Like, say if you asked him this question, do you know what he would have had? A blue Powerade. Can you imagine anything worse to have with that meal than a blue Powerade?
Oh my God.
Like, he would actually, like, his girlfriend at the time would actually, like, cook him a delicious meal and buy him a blue Powerade as a treat to go with it. Absolutely.
Simon, I think you have to tell the boys about the other guy that you used to live with, that you may believe that you had two stomachs, one for sweet and one for savoury.
Yeah,
I think that's worthwhile.
Shout out to Blakey.
Interjecting right now.
Shout out to Blakey. My first degree was a sports science degree, did a lot of anatomy in that. This was, I feel really old saying this, but this was when, like, the internet was obviously existed, but people didn't have it all the time, everywhere, all around them.
It was really slow.
Like, you didn't, you know, you probably did have it on your phone, but like, it wasn't the same as it is now. Anyway, we convinced Blakey that you have two stomachs, one for sweet and one for savoury. And he was like, bullshit. And then someone was like, of course you do. Why do you think you've always got room for dessert? And he's like, yeah, fair enough. Shout out to Blakey and Reece.
Back to the original question.
Powerade is not the answer. Like, imagine Powerade without meal. So I'm gonna go wine. Yeah, you're right, I'm gonna go wine.
You're going wine.
What type of wine?
So this is a thing with a dish.
Let a white wine, let a white.
What kind of grape would that be?
Well, pink. What?
DJ would go with a cup of tea, that's gonna be his answer. So, at
cup
the moment,
of tea followed by a can of Guinness.
At the moment, I'm enjoying a bit of Albarino, Spanish white, very, very tasty. The good thing with chicken is you could kind of have either, so, you know, you couldn't really go far wrong. Just have anything that's made of wine.
So this will tell you how sophisticated I am when it comes to wine. On my head, chicken's white meat, so drink white wine.
Do you know what?
And beef is red meat, so
drink white wine.
You're not wrong.
There you go, he's a pro. And the other thing with...
Alliteration in essence.
The whole thing with wine tasting is, like, it's a load of nonsense, really, isn't it? Like, you either like it or you don't like it, and you might like it with this, you might like... Yeah, no, but it's true, though. Like, I love the whole, like, the pomp and the ceremony and the waiter comes over and he's like, do you like this or do you like that? And you're like, oh, I'm going to taste this little bit and then we'll all... pretend we know what we're talking about. Like, I haven't got a clue what I'm talking about, but I do like a glass of wine. I don't really know what I'm talking about. I couldn't tell you what an Albarino is, but
you'd have that with my grandmother's dinner,
and I'd have that with your grandmother's dinner.
Excellent.
Do you know what? I'd get what I'm given, and I'd be grateful. Yeah. I wouldn't tell.
I know that. We know that. We'd all get what we're given.
I say your grandmother wouldn't have it. Like.
Yeah. She's all out of Albarino. She drank it over breakfast. Like.
My grandmother doesn't drink,
actually. She's big into Powerade.
Shout out to Nana Anna. So, speaking about lads who haven't a clue what they're talking about, now that you mentioned that, Owen.
Yeah.
So, Big Dave Quinn's main meal. Bridgie Quinn, you're going over to the Quinn household for Sunday roast.
Yeah.
What do you bring with you?
So, basically, it's BYOB, and we don't mean on a barbecue bringing your own burger. What are you bringing to Bridgie Quinn's to have a drink with her delicious Cumbria lamb?
So,
Cumbria lamb.
We're on the lamb.
We're on the lamb. We're on the shank.
We're on the lamb. We're on the roast potatoes.
Yeah.
What's the veg again there, Dave?
Should do your beetroot.
Depends on the season, though, on Bridgie.
Beetroot. It's literally... My favourite Bridgie Quinn, this is controversial. Sorry to interject here, but completely. I've already said my piece, so I should be quiet.
No, we love it.
Do you know what Bridgie Quinn does? She does marrow fat peas. No one else does that. They are... different level.
My grandmother doesn't.
The
best cooks do marrow fat peas.
Yeah. And no one else
high
does.
Five around the table for Bridgie Quinn and Anna.
That's it.
Okay. I'm not going to high five.
It comes from my grandmother as well.
Yeah. They're on meal.
Delicious. They're meaty.
Jeremy Tad doesn't go for marrow fat.
It's like having another piece of meat on your plate.
Third meat.
It's actually like having meat.
It's the most savoury vegetable.
It's not as meaty. It's like man vegetable.
When I was about seven, I went over to one of my cousin's weddings in the UK. There in Fleetwood.
Shout out to Fleetwood Town.
Fleetwood Mac.
I was just going to say the exact same thing.
Fleetwood Mac, like, is Nick Fleetwood. Fleetwood Town, Joey Barrett as manager. I hope you go down.
Shout out to Fleetwood Mac.
Shout out to Joey Barton.
Overall wedding there. And,
did you ever see Joey Barton doing the interview with a French accent?
Yes.
One of the funniest things I've ever seen.
What?
There you haven't seen Joey Barton when he played. I went on loan to Marseille.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
He's speaking English with a French accent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. One of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Anyway, so I'm over at this wedding. And we're being served fucking beef or salmon, shite like, right?
Yeah.
And they come around to veg, right? And they go, like, would you like peas? And 7-year-old me is like, yeah, I fucking love peas. I love me granny.
Probably didn't say that.
Love me granny's peas, you know?
He probably did say that.
Yeah,
probably did.
Yeah.
So I said, yeah, I love them, right? So next minute, the horse's fucking marified peas on the plate, right? So I say to me mom, in front of the waitress, what are these fucking English peas doing on my plate?
Come out, cheap blacking pants. Come out and fight me like a man.
So yeah, wasn't a fan.
Haven't touched a pea since, mate.
Not a marathon. Anyway.
Not an English pea.
Anyway, back to
Bridgie Quinn.
It always comes back to Bridgie Quinn. What a woman.
I'm actually probably going to go on the wine as well.
Right.
I'm gonna go
Rouge.
Yeah, right.
Rouge.
Yeah, and I'm gonna go for a nice Malbec.
Oh, there you go.
Can't go wrong. Yeah.
Even I like Malbec, and I hate wine. Yeah.
From Argentina. From Argentina.
From Mendoza.
Yeah. From Mendoza, niche.
Yeah.
Niche. That, not even just the country, specifically Mendoza.
Specifically.
My God.
Probably actually the Santa Rita, fucking vineyard.
We probably smoked weed with the vineyard fucking owner.
So last year I went traveling, right?
Smoked salmon with the owner.
After this, there's going to be a lot of fucking 16-year-olds going around the world saying, do you want some smoked salmon if we talk about weed? I'll have to smoke salmon, please. Weed. Come on, waiter.
Well, anyway, yeah, so last year I went traveling. And I ended up in fucking Mendoza in Argentina.
As you do.
As you do, right? And fucking went on a cycling tour of the vineyards there. Best crack ever. Honest to God, I would fucking recommend it to anybody. You literally rent a bike off a guy. Oh, what's his name?
Johnny Moon.
Johnny. He fucking traveled halfway across.
What are you doing here, Johnny?
I see you in Vietnam and now you're in Argentina.
He enjoyed his pitch black meal with you so much he followed you to Argentina.
A blind man that rents bikes.
So, yeah.
He also used to own Walsh's pub.
Anyway, you rent the bike off Johnny Moon and you fucking travel around to about 8 vineyards throughout the day, getting like several glasses of wine each of vineyards.
That's
continuously
amazing.
Cycling around like after about, I don't know, 20 glasses of wine, like absolutely smashed off your head. Like, we had to get, like, we were the last people at the last vineyard. Had to get a police escort.
On your bike?
Yeah.
On our bike, back to Johnny Moon's. And, like, then get the bus back in.
Do you think Johnny
police Moon's escort?
Police escort, like, they were, like...
Were they on bikes as well? Those.
No, they were in the fucking squad car, just right behind us. Best crack ever.
Do you think Johnny Moon is related to Jackie Moon of the Finn Tropics?
Almost definitely.
Almost definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you did the backing vocals in Love Me Sexy.
Have you heard of that? Have you heard of that marathon in France in Bordeaux?
Oh yeah, the fucking.
It's the salami. The meat and wine marathon.
Yeah.
You have to finish it within 6 hours.
I think you have 9 hours to finish it. Okay. I'm fact checking Dave here.
A vino every mile, is it?
So you don't have to have it, but like apparently pretty much every mile there's like
so that's cheap.
Yeah, exactly. Like, why would you do that and then not?
That's a twat.
But apparently there's like cheese, salami.
That sounds like the
wine.
Best.
You're running through the vineyards, and it's fancy dressed as well. I think there's like about 500 people do it every year. It actually sounds amazing.
Anyways,
I would train for that.
We should do the Snubcast from there, wherever Medoc is, south
we'll
of France.
We'll hook it up. Keeping on team then, we're going to Jib Owen's meal because what you put with blind.
Yeah, what you put, yeah. Yeah.
And we're going to Simon's Barbecue. And Dave, let's fucking team up in this bad boy.
Ah, DJ, you gotta go.
No. Right. What I'm saying is, we need to know what's on the barbecue menu, obviously, okay, before you pair a drink with it. So I'm saying we're going to me and Owen's barbecue. You're getting a burger, two sausages, a skewer with halloumi, red onion, tomato, and beetroot on it, and you're getting some barbecue pineapple.
Beetroot on it, don't
you? Oh yeah, oh. Barbecue beetroot. Well, listen,
by the way, barbecue pineapple. Ginger. Barbecue pineapple is unbelievable.
We're
sorry.
Fucking there. We're there.
Yeah.
Right, so that's on the menu, and you're coming to this place, right? I'm saying straight out. Now, what we usually have is whatever is fucking 20 bottles for €15 in Tesco, to be 100% honest. But
other supermarkets exist.
Ideal drink. For
shout out to Arkeen quality food store.
Arkeen has got a shout out, yeah, 100%. But they don't take 20 bottles for 15, and you haven't even in there. Fair play to them.
You do well to get one.
Hashtag.
Maybe the best bottle you'll ever drink.
If Arkeen's food stores, quality food stores, I would like to add, would like to sponsor this Nodcast, they are more than welcome to.
Yeah, okay.
We're going to the fuckle in the truckle. It's a Thursday. We're going to play in tag rugby after. We're having a fucking barbecue. Burger, two sausage, fucking halloumi score with all the sides, barbecue pineapple. We're going to have three bottles before we go play a tag rugby match. What are you having?
For me personally, it cannot be anything heavy.
Absolutely.
So it's not going to be an IPA too hoppy. It's going to be a lager.
It's going to be a lager.
And at that, it would probably be Five Lamps lager.
You're on a summer lager.
Shout out to Five Lamps there in Dublin. Delicious, crisp, lovely sized cans of lager.
I've never heard of Five Lamps, Dave. Tell me more.
Well, Simon.
Who the fuck is hosting this?
Interesting you just said that. They recently branched out and sponsored Altogether Now Festival down here in Waterford, which was a fantastic hit. And hopefully they'll be there again this year, next or 2019. So I would have to go with the
Five Lamps.
Five Lamps.
Yeah, no, I'll go along with that. I could also go for any Italian lager.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, like Peroni. Do you know those big
bottles?
The big bottle of Peroni we had at that dinner we mentioned earlier. Yeah. So you can get three big bottles of Peroni, €10, Londis Dunmore Road. Shout out to Londis Dunmore Road. Bringing them to the fucking barbecue. Three big bottles.
Yeah.
Down to play tag rugby. Going to throw a few behind the back passes. Going to score a few tries and accidentally grab some. I'm not going to say that in case Neve listens.
Mickey's.
Blas.
Mickey's. Absolutely grab some Mickey's and set of tags. And then we're going to fucking have a sing song.
You're wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. No, right. I'm fucking all ears.
So you're having the barbecue, right?
Yeah.
There's only one choice. I hope you say the same as I do.
20 bottles of Bud
for €15. Tesco. To fucking take it home.
I'd rather eat a bar of soap.
Fucking. We've done this for 3 years. Chalk it down. All the way to the bank.
Hold on, like, I know.
We'll win the fucking trophy.
Like, if I'm buying.
In fairness, if I did win on you drinking Budweiser.
Exactly.
So can't really argue with that. But
that's hold on. We also drank Miller.
If I'm buying Five Lamps, I want the Five Lamps. I'm not fucking horsing out.
You're not sharing the Five Lamps.
No, but what I'm saying is. But the theoretical question is, what are you putting? Would that mean for you? So like he's not buying Five Lamps for all of us. He's buying Five Lamps. So I'm bringing Peroni.
Typical Dave.
Shout out to O'Brien's off license. They do a great deal on the Five Lamps.
Dave, you're not supposed to be going again. Arkeen Stores. Your family fucking. Your family heritage
hashtag
is gone.
Hashtag Worldwide Wines.
Shout out to Colin Jeffson.
All I'm gonna say is Worldwide Wines off license. Dunmore Road. Shout out to the fucking growler.
The growler. You cannot go wrong
and
with that.
Do you know what? There's going to be a week where we're not going to be able to do a snowcast from a pub for various reasons. So what we might actually do that week is we're going to get some of this growler. We'll fill you in on it in that podcast and we'll have it over at Simon's Gaff.
Simon, what were you going to say? What was your shout for
just barbecue? I'm astounded. Three different people spoke about what beer to have with a barbecue and no one mentioned a Spanish beer with a little bit of lime or lemon in it, no? Either a Corona with lemon,
which you see,
Sol is cheap as well.
Sol and Corona, no, that's absolutely fine, but that's like a generic barbecue. We're talking about a specific barbecue where we're going to Owen's house before Tag Rugby.
Yeah. Oh, like, listen, fair enough, I get that.
No, if you're going, say for example, if I invite you over to my gaff for a barbecue and I have 10 people coming and I'm buying the beers, I'm buying fucking two boxes of Sol or two boxes of Corona, and you're getting that, and fuck you.
Yeah.
But fair play, I 100% agree with you on that. So lads, I put out on the Snugcast Facebook page today a post, just asking for questions from listeners. So basically,
Dave's whispering, "Si, can I have a little bit of your drink?"
Because it's really
bought,
good.
I just bought him a pint, and he's still stealing some.
You bought him a pint, and he's drinking some of your pint as well.
He can't handle it.
Yeah, it's going to Simon's head, lads. All I say is, I put up on the Snugcast Facebook page earlier today. I asked for some questions, and I said if any listeners wanted the questions asked to the group, we'd ask them tonight. So we're trying something new. We fucking love something new in the Snugcast.
Yeah, we cut it down to the first 1,000 that were put in. And
yeah, after yeah.
That we edited it out. And just
absolutely. So lads, Gary Illiston has been on, and he asks the group.
Shout out to Gary.
We don't know Gary. And who is your most favourite Irish person, non-footy based? So you can't go with a football player.
Yeah, you know what,
that's quite funny, because actually, I was like, right, Irish football players.
Yeah, like, but it's initially your first thought. Gary's favourite.
And he said favourite Irish person.
Yeah, and looking at his Facebook profile, Gary is not Irish himself.
Yeah, yeah.
And he has said,
"Wise Gary."
Mine would be the cranberries lot. So he's going for the full lot of the cranberries. Okay. I thought he said lol at first, but then I focused my eyes.
He's gone for the cranberries.
Even though
the outlaws, what's your favourite Irish person?
Could you go for
listen, I'm not picking trees here.
Boys,
like you, I asked you what your favourite meal was, and you started going on about a blind man.
Yes.
Yeah, so yeah. Shout out to Johnny Moon.
Gary, you know, fair play to you, man.
So Simon, as the only as the only non-Irish person here, I'm coming straight to you first.
It's between Dave Quinn, Darren Walsh and Owen Tabb.
Who's Darren Walsh?
And my wife as well.
What about your second son Sam, seeing as Charlie's English because he was born over there?
Good point. He's definitely in the top 10.
Shout out to Charlie and Sam and Annie for letting you come here.
Yeah. My favourite non-football, do you know, I'm going to have to go rugby really, aren't I?
It's a bit of a cop out, I'm not going to lie.
Alright, then I won't. Fine, I won't.
No,
fine.
Go with
no,
it.
No, you said it's a cop out. It's a cop out.
I'm saying this cop out, but who's your favourite Irish rugby player? Just
do you know what I'm going to say? It's neat, actually. Padraig Harrington. I like him, the golfer.
Yeah.
I like him.
Yeah.
Why? Because he was successful when you were in college for the first time.
No, not even. Do you know what I liked, actually? He won... I don't really know much about golf. He won something and it came in a big fucking trophy.
Who's your favourite Irish person? Padraig Harrington, but I know nothing about golf.
Yeah. But no, I like him. He comes across really well. I listened to an interview with him.
Yeah.
Do you know what? He's a legend. I came up with him, but there's so many others I can't know. But the reason I like him, the reason he sticks in the mind is it was really humbling listening to him in his kind of immediate post-victory interview thing. He had the big trophy for... What was he won?
Something. It could have been the WGPA because that's a huge trophy.
Let's go with that. And his little kid was there with him and his little kid was like, oh, can I put ladybirds in it? Like, live on TV.
Yeah,
like,
that's pretty cool.
Of course you can. We'll go and find ladybirds in it. I was like, do you know what? You just won this and like, you're a really kid.
I'm going to throw a golfer at you as well. A man who loves a pint from listening to interviews from him and who's fairly down-to-earth is Shane Lowry.
Oh yeah.
He's probably my favourite golfer just for that alone. I'm not too into the golf. I've played a bit of golf when I was younger, I played a lot of golf when I was I had a bad injury there playing hurling. I broke my tibia and did my ACL, so I played a good bit of golf in the 2 or 3 years it took to come back from that, and I enjoyed it, but I never watched too much pro golf.
A friend of mine, shout out to Shane Olin, is a PR consultant in Dublin, did a lot of PR for said golfer. And he
Paddy Harr.
Shane Lowry. And he played a round or two with him. He said he's one of the most down earth.
Yeah.
Like one of the lads, basically.
Yeah.
He also shares the surname of one of my favourite movie characters of all time, Michael Lowry from Bad Boys.
Michael Lowry.
Can I just say,
you're on a Michael Lowry.
That is Shane Nolan's favourite movie as well.
Michael Lowry.
Bad Boys 2.
Obviously,
Bad Boys 2. We'll come back to that in another podcast later on, but Michael Lowry.
I also want to...
That's phenomenal. Love you, Shane.
I'm gonna say Amy Goodman as well was a controversial second.
The Hoobs,
she's
hilarious. Yeah,
I follow her on Instagram. She's actually unbelievably funny woman.
Her husband isn't bad either.
Ah, he's alright.
Owen Thomas Tabb.
Mm-hmm. James Thomas.
Owen James Thomas Tabb. EJ and DJ.
Egypt.
Who is your favourite non-footy Irish person? I presume, like, I'm going straight there because you're a United fan. Roy Keane's probably your favourite Irish person.
Yeah. Probably, like, footy-wise, like, just growing up, like, he's just, like, in your mindset the whole time. Like.
Yeah.
Favourite Irish person. I'm probably going to go Brendan Gleeson.
Nice one.
Oh, yeah. Good shout.
In Bruges. Mad Eye Moody.
The general.
Mad Eye Moody, right? But, Simon, you have a spot on, right? The fucking Martin Kahl in General. That is a fucking...
That's pretty spot on.
Quality film, like.
The Guard as well.
The Guard as well.
Yeah.
So, like, so, start of The Guard. So, non-spoiler, because it's the fucking...
Start of a shot.
Very, very start of the film, right? So, it's you know, The Guard is this, like, dark comedy, right?
Yeah. We love them in Ireland.
So, the very, very start of the film is, like, these fucking... He's at a Garda checkpoint, like, or whatever, speed checkpoint. So, he's, like, pulled in off the side of the road with, like, a speed gun. And all you see is, like, these fucking boy racer boys, like, three or four boys in the car, speeding past him, like, you know, like, tunes absolutely blaring. You hear the tunes kind of blaring from distance, and they speed past them. And next minute, like, the car goes out of shot of the camera, and all you hear is the car, like, flipping and, like, tumbling down the road, and, like, the music, like, finishing. So, like, he, like, very, very, very slowly, like, turns the siren on.
How
the car. Very, very slowly.
Very slowly.
Very slowly.
Turns the siren on in the car and drives down the road past him, like. So he gets out of the car. Like, boys are fucking tossed out, like, there's no seatbelts or anything. Boys are, like, tossed miles out of the car, like, all of them, like, smashed bits, like, completely dead. So he gets out of the car and he, like totters around, kind of, like, surveys the scene. And then I think he looks out on, like, it's the Atlantic anyway. Like, it must be set in Galway or somewhere. But he looks out and he, like, looks out and out at Galway and he goes, "What a beautiful fucking morning." That just sets the scene for the film. Like,
that's fucking
it's just
brilliant.
Absolutely, like, he just fucking captures the essence of, like, the Irish Guard just so well. Like, it's amazing. Like, you know,
and Brendan Gleeson is a great show.
He's amazing. Yeah,
Big Dave Quinn. Proud Waterman, who's your favourite non-footy Irishman?
A Waterman
or non footy Irish person, I know, like, we're not limited to men.
There's loads of Waterford men that I could hark back to
and women
through history, but when Simon mentioned rugby there, actually
I got shouted down is what happened, so you can't mention rugby.
Yeah, I actually shouted up. Declan Kidney sprung to mind, and particularly our famous victory in Wales in 2009,
Grand Slam, first
Grand Slam, Ronagora's dropkick goal. I can actually, it's a JFK memory for me.
The wobbliest dropkick I've ever seen.
It was a spiral.
Yeah,
if I can remember correctly, I can remember exactly where I was, who was around me. But what will always resonate in my memory is his interview with RTE, and he was the most humbling, most just down to earth character, and he deflected all of the limelight off himself, and he put it back onto the development officers within the province, within the club coaches, within the school coaches. And whatever tier that we can even go down into further. And that was just one of the most, I suppose, with regards to provincial people, that was one of the most inspiring speeches.
It is right, because, like, I've actually met Declan a few times when I worked in Cork. And I knew his sister well when I worked in Cork. And no, I genuinely, I met him a few times, but I knew his sister a lot better. and like
just Alan Kidney.
that's not her name, and but they're just a really solid fucking salted your family, so that's a brilliant show. I wouldn't have even thought of it, but fucking great shout.
But yeah, I suppose then if I was to say one from the locality here, and that, another one that I guess called over is a guy called Redmond, MP for Waterford at the turn of the century, leader of the IPI party. And that's another one that, like,
shout out to the IPI party.
It's one that that's often
says the English lad.
John Redmond is he often gets looked over in history as well, and that'd be another one for me.
That's a really good one. I think if I'm probably looking at characters, Irish people in history, Irish people in the modern age, the history of Ireland is checkered, and some people have done some amazing things, and I'm going to give a shout out to a woman. We've all gone men. I'm going to give a shout out to a woman.
Countess Markovitch.
No, actually, yeah. Another great woman who fucking fought for Irish freedom. I'm actually going to give a shout out to a woman who's the story of her struggle with love is chronicled in one of the greatest songs I've ever heard. It's become a favourite at Celtic Park. And the Wolf Tone sang it, and my favourite Irish person is Grace Gifford. Not because of the song or anything like that, but because of the story. So if you have a chance, look up Grace by the Wolf Tones, or even look at the Celtic fan singing it. And it's a song about Joseph Mary Plunkett, who was one of the people who fought for Irish freedom in the Easter Rising in 1916, the failed Easter Rising 1916.
Train station in Waterford City here is named after him.
Yeah. Plunkett train station. He's one of the dignitaries that signed the Proclamation of Independence, as all the train stations in Ireland are called after dignitaries who signed the Proclamation of Independence. And Joseph Mary Plunkett signed the Proclamation of Independence and was sentenced to execution at dawn in Kilmainham Jail after the Easter Rising. And the night before he was executed, he married Grace Gifford, his childhood sweetheart. And as the song tells, they had no time together. They were married in the chapel in Kilmainham Jail. You can still visit the spot that they were married in, Kilmainham Jail Museum, to this day. And they got married. He was executed the next morning. And she spent the rest of her life devoted to him, never remarried. And I just think she made the ultimate sacrifice for a country that's blossoming now. So fair fucks to Grace Gifford. I'll
Grace.
Fucking drink to that. Grace, just hold me in your arms and let this moment linger, ha? Huh? So, great question, Gary, as I take us up my drink.
I just think we should probably get all the listeners to vote maybe on who they think is the best one. I'm quietly confident Amy Hoover is going to win that one.
I forgot you went with the Hoobs, actually.
I came up with that, and then you came up with all these like amazing historical...
To be fair,
Amy Hoover is quite good on Instagram.
You're not even Irish, though.
Yeah.
Hold on. Who has a bigger following, right? Grace Gifford or Amy
Hoover? Exactly. But to be fair, Grace Gifford is dead with 60... Grace Gifford is dead with 60 years. So, just... Shit, I've lost it here now, but Matt McMullen has also been on. Shout out to Matt. And he asked, company excluded, what makes the ideal night out? So, example, a venue, ability to be served, etc.
Barbecue.
A barbecue. Simon straight in with a barbecue. Big Dave.
What makes it? Plenty of booze, I suppose.
Plenty of booze. So I suppose that's being served handy.
Yeah. I suppose it's your own frame of mind, right? As in...
That's a great one.
As in... Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you go out on a night out and you're like, oh, I'm not in the mood for this at all. But, like...
Yeah, but do you know what? They're the best nights. And yeah. I was going to say, but they're actually the best nights. I threw in a barbecue for that, but actually, when it's completely unexpected, the ones that are all planned, you're like, oh, I'm supposed to have fun now. They're all...
I'm not saying, like, planning or organisation. I'm saying, like, your own frame of mind. Like, as in, like, there's been nights where I'm like, fuck... This is it. I'm going to be lit. I'm going to be... This is the night for me. Yeah. Right?
And sometimes like, you go out and you're on in that fucking night,
right,
no matter what.
And you're in that zone yourself. You create that atmosphere, right? So, like, it takes a very good person. Like, you know, if you're just not in the mood at all.
Yeah.
Like, it takes a very good person for you to be brought into, like, that mood, like, you know? So, like, I like... Look, just personally for me, like, I think... like just your own kind of frame of mind. Like,
I'm going to be altered. Yeah, but, I'm going to go one along a similar line, and I'm going to say what makes the night out is the day you have leading up to it. In terms of it's not so much as if you have a good day, you're going to have a good night, but.
Or something.
Yeah, like. But at the same time, sometimes, like, yeah, I don't have the best day in work or whatever it is, and you're not fucking feeling great, and you just decide, fuck it, I'm going all out.
Yeah.
Or alternatively, like today, like, you know, I worked away today, did a bit of training, and just all I could think about was coming down having a few pints with you lads, and it's just, this has been such a good fucking night for me.
I'm just in that right fucking
place at that right time.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know what? Like, I can't give in as an answer to the question, but. The truth is, the answer is, it's all about who you surround yourself with.
Because that's the caveat of the question.
In the world, everything's free, you get whatever you want, and if you're the bunch of dickheads, you're not going to have a nice time.
Dickheads are dickheads.
You could sit in your own house with one other friend and you have the best night.
That is awesome.
Seeing as he's commented in the post.
Oh, and also Amy Huberman.
Yeah.
Stick her down.
If she was there, that would be the best thing ever.
Shout out to my wife. Yes. Shout out to Brian
O'Driscoll.
Colin Mudge has been on and says who's the best ultra there is. Shout out to the ultras, but we're not going to answer that because that's an in joke. And Richard Smith, Rich has been on. Rich is a sound lad. He's got a really good season ticket at Anfield, and sometimes he swaps me for my two if someone can't come over at me, and he brings his son to the match. Shout out to Rich and his son, who. Actually, is training at a football academy at the moment. He's nine, and he's a fledgling footballer. Quick question, and I just want a number as an answer. How many is too many? Owen, how many is too many?
13.
Simon.
19.
Dave.
I was gonna say anything over 10.
Anything over 10. So, listen to episode 1. We plot our 12 pubs where we drink 14 drinks on them actually when you listen back to it.
That's not enough.
So you're saying 13, so by the time we get to the Rage and do the Jimi Hendrix, you're fucked. You say 19, you're going hard and going home and having a couple of more bottles.
Dave, I was talking units per week, by the way.
Oh yeah.
If my mum's listening.
Yeah. And, Dave, you're going with anything over 10. We've lost you by pub 8. I think I'm in around the 15-16 mark in terms of drinks. Like, if I have 15-16 drinks on night out, I'm dead to the world the next day.
I'll be honest, I threw out 19, didn't even know what we were talking about. I've got two young kids. Like, two? Two is too many now.
And you've had, four tonight? Fair fucks you tomorrow. Listen, lads, thanks a million for listening. Thanks, Simon, for coming on your first Snowcast and being so natural.
Thanks,
it's been a fucking pleasure for having you on. Big Dave Quinn, second of many.
I hope you have me back.
Oh, 100%.
Gurmeen Margaret.
I've been DJ Walsh, your co-host. This has been Owen Tabby, your co-host. We've been joined by the lads. We've had a few good drinks, a few good laughs. We've had a few questions from you lads. Thanks a million for coming on. This has been another fucking episode of the Snowcast. Tune in next week, you beautiful, glorious bastards.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders that we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.